My name is Deja. I am 19 years old. Today is April 28th, 2019, and I'm speaking with Sabrina Nowland, who is my mother, and we're recording this interview in Greensboro, North Carolina, in Charlotte, North Carolina. Introduce yourself.
Hello, my name is Sabrina Nowland. I am Deja Nowland's mother.
How old are you?
I am 40 years old.
And where do you reside?
Currently, I live in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Okay. So during this interview, I'll be asking you a list of 10 questions that are relative to your life, and you answer them, hopefully honestly, and carry on with the conversation.
Sounds good.
What are you proudest of, and why does it make you feel proud?
Say that one more time.
What are you proudest of, and why does it make you feel proud?
What am I proudest of, and why does it make me feel proud?
Mm-hmm.
I'm proud of a lot of things. I would say that I'm very proud of my daughter Deja and her accomplishment of going to college and working very hard to, I would say, set her own pathway and aspire to hit her dreams and goals. I think the one thing that I find to be the proudest moments with her is where I see her think and act very boldly, meaning in her style, she's fearless. She'll just, you know, put together whatever kind of outfit, wear like all these different colors of hair. I mean, I never know who I'm gonna see. And not just that, with photography, I see her capture moments in life that are really breathtaking. I've seen her paint, I've seen her draw, I've seen her think of and try to create businesses. So she's got an entrepreneurial spirit. Like, there's a lot of layers to that. And I'm so proud that she is not closed in a box, that she has a open mind to the world, to her ability. She's, like I said, fearless and not afraid to take chances or risk. She don't really care what anybody says or thinks. And I mean, that has a lot of value to some degree when it comes to her dreams. It's like, if you see it, if she sees it, then I believe it and I'm gonna do it. And I'm not gonna let anybody deter me from it. And I'm proud of that, because that means that the sky is the limit. And I've always encouraged her when she was young to just, you know, not be looking at life with a closed lens, like to capture everything and try as many things as you like, so that way you'll know what you love. Because when you start passionately living your life, you want to do things that you love and not things you're forced into doing. So I think I'm proudest at that as a parent, to see Deja go about her life in that way.
Thank you. I'll say that I think the really thing that I learned how to do those things is because of you. You know, you being so fierce and like so strong-minded and independent, I learned all those things from you, and I guess I just applied it to myself. But minus being proud as a parent, like, what is something that you're proud of yourself? Like, and why does it make you feel proud?
I think for me, one of the proudest moments that I had was when I graduated college. Mm-hmm. I will say when I was in high school, I mean, from elementary on up, you know, to high school, I mean, I was a pretty sharp person, you know. When it came to school and the coursework, I'm not gonna lie, I was challenged by some of it, but a lot of it I found very, very easy. And I applied myself, you know, I studied, I made sure that, you know, I stayed on top of things. No one ever had to tell me, you know, do your homework. I just naturally did it, and I made sure I kept a system so that that way I never got behind, because I always wanted to be able to do other things at school and hang out and, you know, and be with my brother and his friends and everything. And I knew I couldn't do those things if I didn't have my work done. So I had always had that regimen in my mind. And a lot of the work just came kind of easy to me. So when I graduated high school, we had a really large class. I don't even remember how many people it was, but it was some hundreds. But I graduated 18th in my class. And I thought that was like huge, but by doing that, I was getting scholarships and things, and I was going to college. I knew I was going to college, but I didn't know what I wanted to go to college for. I just knew I was just supposed to go because that was the thing. And my family, you know, my father didn't go to college. My mother didn't go to college. So I just knew it was like, that was a thing to do. That was like their proud moment. So I went to college, and I went to Georgia Southern College, because my thought was, I went there and I had family there and I was like, okay, I like it. And I went there, and once I got there, I found out about their engineering program. And I was like, you know what, I'm going to get in this engineering program, and then I'm going to transfer to Georgia Tech, and I'm going to be this engineer, and yeah, yeah, yeah. And I ended up getting in the program, and at the end of my sophomore year, I was like, I don't want to be an engineer. And so I remember my advisor was like, well, what do you want to do? And I couldn't tell her. I knew I loved fashion, and in my hope and dream, I always wanted to live in New York City and kind of be on that vibe. But I was just like, nah, I'm going to just take some time off. So the mistake that I made was I transferred to a local community college just so I wouldn't fall behind, and I took up nursing because I thought, hey, nurses make a lot of good money. This will be something. But like I said, I wasn't passionate about nursing. It wasn't anything that I was doing that I loved. It was just something that I thought was the right thing to do. And in the course of that, you know, I became a mom at 22. And that just put a halt on things when it came to college for me, because my whole focus was, I got to take care of my child. I gotta really get out here and make it happen. So in the course of raising my daughter, you know, I said in my mind, I was like, how can I really get her to understand how important it is to get an education if I haven't gotten mine? And, you know, I'm out here working these jobs, sometimes two jobs, let alone three at times, and still trying to be home and make all these things happen. And if I would have got that education, this might have not have been as heavy of a load, or it may have put me in a position where I could have been focusing on something that I love and making it work that way. So, you know, I ended up going back to school part-time and taking online classes to finish my degree in business, because I knew one day I eventually wanted to be in the business world or either an entrepreneurial environment, and I needed to learn the tools to it. So I went back to school to understand business. And in October 18th of 2015, I finished my classes and I got my bachelor's in business administration. So even though I went back part-time and it took me a minute, it was one of the most proudest moments because I knew I could do it, but the challenges that I kind of had that I, you know, that were put before me that, you know, that I had, it was difficult, but I just stayed in it and you know, and did what I could along the way until I finished it. So that was a very proud moment to say that I had completed that. Even though it took me a while, I still could say that I had done it.
I feel like, I remember those days when you used to, like, you'd be like, Deja, I'm doing my classes right now. Like, go do something. I remember you had your textbook, and I'd be like, here she go with them classes. But I feel like you should really, like, recognize that more, because I feel like now you don't really, like, you don't even have your diploma hanged up. I mean, your degree, I said diploma. I meant your degree, like, hanged up in the in the living room. And I feel I was gonna say, like, I feel like, you know, you should celebrate it. Like, I feel like we should have a celebration for your graduation. I feel like we never had a chance to do that when that happened. Cause even when it came in through the mail.
Well, for me, one, it was at the time I financially wasn't able to go to participate in the ceremony, so I told them to mail it to me. But like I said, it for me though, I have blown the certificate up because I was gonna frame it, and I ended up it's good to know you got the paper, but ultimately it was something internal. It was more of an internal accomplishment. Mm-hmm. It was something in my mind where I was like, it was never that I felt like I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
It was just that I felt that the cards that I had at certain moments in life made it difficult for me to see it. And so just, you know, that accomplishment to say, like, man, I really did that. Like, it took me a minute, but I really did that. And I was hoping that it wasn't just something that I was wanting to accomplish for myself. It was something that I, in the end game of it, I was hoping that it was able to show you, like, dang, if she could do that, I can do anything, you know? And
it did.
And give you that encouragement, too, so.
I'm just saying, like, you know, I wasn't saying, like, going to Florida and go to the ceremony. I meant, like, you know, have a little cookout or get together and, like, or go to a restaurant, you know, that type of thing. But I understand. I understand what you mean.
Yeah, at the time, I wasn't even, it was such a victory within me.
Yeah.
It wasn't even a thought. It was, it was like, When I saw that baccalaureate certificate, when I saw just the envelope in the mail, like, that was enough for me. Like, that right there, just, that sealed the deal for me. I didn't need to go out to eat. I mean, you know, it's good to celebrate those things, but I'm just saying, it had a different meaning for me. At that time, so
that's okay. I mean, it's different for everybody though, so
well, yeah. I mean, some people, you know, this is like the conversation where I told you, you know, don't go to college for me. You know, don't go to college because that's what.
So the next question is, can you remember a time in your life when you felt alone?
Time when I felt alone.
Mm-hmm. Something that's like you probably went through something and you felt like you didn't have anybody and you felt like you were just going through it on your own. To verbally, like for somebody to verbally understand like where you're coming from.
I mean, I've had some challenges in work,
mm-hmm.
where I worked in fields that were heavily dominated with men, and I've been in situations where I was the only female in a leadership position, and I'm always capable of holding my own, but there are moments where things happen. Sometimes things have, you know, been said or maybe crossed the line,
mm-hmm.
and it's like you look for an outlet or somebody to communicate that to, and you don't have it. And then you got to be cautious on how you move because of what they consider office politics and that is, you know, that sort. So it's like you have to be almost calculated with how you do things. And I've been in a situation like that because and I'm saying being in that, it made me feel alone because I felt that I didn't have an outlet at work. And then I became, instead of me enjoying work, I became more of the person of how do I survive at work.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel like, especially when you was working at the walking company, did you feel like the racial discrimination kind of played in part of feeling like you have to survive and also dealing with you being the only black female in the company in a leadership position? Do you feel like that made you have that mentality?
Well, I mean, I don't work there no more, so I guess it don't really matter too much how I did it. But I mean, I don't want to say or even paint the picture that I was in a racist environment. Mm-hmm. I don't think it was that. I think what it was that the dynamics of the leadership that I was around, there were not any people that looked like me. And because of that, it was sometimes a little bit difficult for them to identify with me.
Yeah.
And when I say that, meaning they would have conversations with me or try to have conversations with me based off of maybe something that they saw on TV or something that they saw online.
Or something like, that they hear on the radio.
Or something that they hear on the radio. Because they may not have people around them that look like me. So they don't mm-hmm. know how to have a conversation other than what they've seen or other than what they've heard. And so those conversations could sometimes come off very racially driven, or even uncomfortable. Maybe that would be the better word. There were some conversations where, you know, and even atmospheres where people didn't associate with me because I did not look like them, or they felt that I might have been out of place by being in that position. So it was like different levels to it, and it makes you feel alone because it makes you feel like you're the not the oddball, but you're the one in the group that has to get initiated in. And if they like you, cool. But if they don't like you, then you just sit over there. And we'll talk to you if we choose to, or we'll interact with you if we choose to. And that's an uncomfortable place to be, especially when you're trying to be a part of something and you're trying to grow. It'll make you feel isolated and alone.
Mm-hmm. How do you think that applied to you, you know, having like future, these jobs that you have now, you know, working when you worked at NASCAR, when you worked at the daycare, and now you working at United Rentals? How do you think like feeling alone during that past time has affected you now?
I mean, I've never been someone who could not handle myself in a room or in any setting.
Mm-hmm.
So that's never been an issue for me. It's just that when I think about growth and when I think about how I want to build relationships, I would say it does tarnish you a little bit because you do go into things cautiously. Because if you see signs of it, then it may make you more cautious, especially in work. But with working, you know, in other environments, it just makes me aware of it. And a lot of times when I find someone who may have a difficulty conversing with me, I usually go ahead and approach it. I just usually go ahead and if you may know this or may not, I speak to everybody. So even if you don't speak to me, I keep speaking to you until at some point we're going to have a conversation. So sometimes I try to take the barrier down to make it a little bit easier. And then that makes it easier for me. With working with kids, that's a whole nother ball game. I don't have any bias to anyone, but I have a deeper love and care for children because they're innocent. You know, they don't know anything other than what they're taught. So,
yeah,
you know.
I agree. I think you came through a lot, and I wanted to tell you that I appreciate all the work and all the things you had to go through just to get to where you at now. And I wanted to bring up the question, how has your life been different than what you imagined?
My life has been different because, you know, like I said, when I was younger, man, I knew anybody that would tell you, I thought I was just the flyest girl on the street. I thought that I was going to have my own clothing store. I thought I was going to be this fashion designer. I was going to be all over the world. Like, I don't know why, but that was just in my head. I just didn't see life in this small window, even though I grew up in a small town. Like, I just thought, I thought I was out of place. Like, I really thought I was out of place. And so when I got older and I look at it now, I have the same ambition, but it's not like it was when I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
I still have a lot of drive, but I find that the purpose in my life at this juncture is more of teaching and building versus at the time when I was younger, I was all about inventing. So there's a difference.
But would you combine those two of traveling and also you can also be an entrepreneur and create your own business for clothing that could teach people, you know, how to be passionate about themselves and how to be leaders?
I you know what, Deja? I think, I mean, personally, when I became a parent and when I knew I was going to be a mom, I'm not going to lie, like, I put all of that on the back burner.
Mm.
Like, those things became less important to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so now that I'm at this age and you're at this age, it's not that those things don't matter to me. It's just that I just have a different outlook
on
things. Like, I still want to do those things, but the responsibilities and things of my life right now have completely changed. And so, you know, I think I'm reinventing the wheel, so to speak. So even though clothes and all that was my thing back then, that's not really my thing right now. Like, there's other things that I would put more focus on to reinventing and, like I said, entrepreneurship and doing all of those things.
With that being said, what does your future hold? Like, what do you see as in inventing and also teaching and leading as a person that you are?
For me, my future, I think my future holds a lot of great things for not only myself, but for people that are around me. I don't want to, going back to when I was younger, I'd always said I was not going to work past the age of 35, let alone 40. Now, granted, that is not happening. But I said that back then because in my mind, I was like, I'm going to have so much money that I can retire by the time I'm 35. Or let alone 40 would be like my stretch. Uh-huh. Like, that was my thought, that I had so many things going on. So that didn't happen. And I'm cool with that. But I see my future to be bright. I'm all about striving for your inner greatness and recognizing that. And it took me a long time, even though I knew I had skill and ability, it took me a long time to define my purpose and to be confident in my greatness. So as I became confident in my greatness and even understanding my purpose, then it's helped me shape what I want to do in the future. And I've learned through doing different things. I love cooking. I love kids. I love speaking to others and uplifting and teaching. Like I could go back and be a teacher and probably would fall in love with it. Mm-hmm. Like, go back and teach like middle school or either... I don't want like kids, like small kids. I would want to teach like the age of maybe 9 through 15, somewhere in there, because that's such a critical age. And I would love to go back and do something like that. I would love to, you know, like I said, have that business. Have that networking center where people can come and they can learn different resources to help better their careers. You know, I'm so blessed to go through the path that I went through, because over the last 20 years, I've been in different management levels to where I'm peaking now at different, on a more higher up level. And with being in that, I've learned so many things about management, or not even management, I would say leadership and communicating and team building, inspiring and you know, nurturing, motivating, all of these different things. I've learned the ins and outs of business, you know, learning the paperwork side, the prop, the P&L, all like everything about it. Like, I mean I can move in that lane comfortably. So I would love to be able to bring that back and share that with people who are looking to do those things.
Yeah. I also want to bring up the question, is there anything that you have never told me but you want to tell me now during this interview?
That's a great question. I do have some things I've never told you, but I won't tell them in this interview.
I guess we move on to the next question.